talking and ain't been recording. I'm sorry. So going through this teaching that we understand that with all of the people that are fasting, if we did that internationally as a as the body of Christ, it's some mountains that would be moved. It was some some valleys that would be exalted. It would be some diseases that would be eradicated. I'm telling you, if we focus and had a laser focus like that, it'd be awesome.
Okay.
So, oh, she's not talking to us. Okay. So Celinda, you're not talking to us, are you?
No.
Okay. All right. So there's a lot of things that we could change and move if we did this. You know. But I don't know, like the nations have called a fast, like, you know, the kings in the Bible, you know, they call these fasts for the entire nation. And I don't know if a call has been made, I don't know if we've ever taken it seriously or complied with it internationally. And that's because the body of Christ is so fractured that we have some issues. And even Islam is fractured, but that's one principle that they believe in. And so if we can get ourselves around this one principle and see it as powerfully life-changing and transformative, then I believe that some things are happening. But it's going to start with us. It's going to start with us. Let's look at this very interesting passage of scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Fasting deals with cutting yourself off from the pleasures of the world. And we said that before. We said that last week. It's about cutting yourself off from the pleasures of the world as well. So I want to read okay. So let's go to, and I need somebody to read the King James Version of this, if you have it, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. And I'm going to get another version here too as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 5. If you have it, go ahead and read it.
Go ahead.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 7:5, King James, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinencies.
Okay, so and that's the King James, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So listen. So I want you to read that first part one more time and I'll tell you when to stop. Go ahead again.
Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again.
Okay, so it's saying here that really technically it's saying that in a marriage relationship, if you're married, that devoting yourself to fasting and prayer is something that you must agree with your spouse, because it will include engaging in sexual relations. Okay, so that's why, you know, it's important. This scripture talks about and is dealing with marriage, so it's talking about making sure. It says here, it says for in verse 5, now King James includes fasting and prayer, but I want to read in the Amplified. It says, do not refuse and deprive and defraud each other of your due marital rights, okay, which is talking about sexual relationship, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves unhindered to prayer. And then it's in the King James says prayer and fasting and prayer. So it's one of those things where this is a total devotion. This is a total body devotion. Okay. When we're talking about this, so there are certain activities that we do not need to engage in order to make this a devoted time period in our lives. That's what the scripture is talking about and dealing with. And it's talking about it in the context of marriage, just making sure that there's an understanding so that, you know, you don't say, well, I'm fasting. You know, well, you know, we need to talk about this. I'm sorry, y'all. So anyway, there's a need though too for spousal consent when you're going to do it for a period of time where there's going to be a total devotion of your body to the Lord, which is what fasting is and what you're doing. Okay, if you understand what I'm saying. All right. So I wanted to put that in there. That'll bless somebody. That'll help somebody. Fasting is not dieting. I want to put that out there. Fasting is not dieting. Fasting is not just missing a meal. You know, I'm a fast and I'm going to eat lunch today. Fast is not just missing a meal. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fasting is the intentional devotion of your body to the Lord for a period of time. And I would say a period of time that causes your body to be in conflict with what you're trying to do spiritually. So some of us go, you know, I go hours without eating now. So that's not a fast. But if I set my time and I said, I'm going to, for the next 16 to 18 hours from the time that I wake up till, you know, late in the night, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to consume anything but water. Now I put myself in a greater position to call it a devotion and a fast instead of saying, you know, well, I don't eat all day anyway, so that's no big deal. No, it's really pushing yourself, devoting yourself, or making it a challenge, challenging your flesh. And that's when you feel it. That's when you know you're in it. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you feel it, that's when you know you're in it. Matthew chapter, I talked about this earlier, Matthew chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. I gave you that scripture, but here's another thought from that scripture. Matthew chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Notice that the Spirit sent Jesus away, and he fasted while he was away. It is important that you look at eliminating distractions while you are fasting. Okay? It is important that you eliminate distractions while you are fasting. If you are fasting and you plan on fasting for more than, I would say, 48 hours or maybe even 3 days, you need to look at taking some time off work because that you want to be wholly devoted. If you're working, you want to be wholly devoted to this aspect. I don't know anybody that took vacation days to say, I'm just going to fast. That's a powerful thing, you know. That's something that believers can do. Say, the next 3 days, I won't be in the work. Why are you not being to work? It's personal. Take some personal time, right? You ain't got to know what I'm doing. It's personal, you know? So, look at the distractions that are there. I think we should limit the media intake that we do when we're fasting. Okay. When you're wholly devoting yourselves, you want to get stuff out. You want to get toxins out. You don't want to bring them in. Okay, so a lot of the news is toxic.
Oh, yes.
Okay, what you listen to, be very careful. I know you want to, you know, have your R&B playing and everything and get your, you know, all that going on. But when you're on the fast, you want to eliminate certain things, certain thoughts that can tempt you. You can't be, you know, singing love songs and you feeling lonely and then you're on the fast. You like I said, you pushing yourself, mm-hmm. All right? You tempting yourself. So you want to make sure that, yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. We all adults here on the line. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So we need to be conscious of how we conduct ourselves during the fast to remove the distractions. Jesus went away by himself, and that's how he flowed. So it's important for us to think about that. Also, I want to look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Verses 18 and 19. I'm giving y'all some good scripture. I'd see Nikita raised her hand. So I wanted to come on in with a thought and comment on whatever she raised her hand. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, how do you incorporate your kids in with fasting? Like if you wanted to make it a family
kind of thing, and recognizing you may have younger kids, and that, you know, there might be some struggles with the discipline or the distractions of it. Like, how do you?
I think that is. Yeah, here's what would be my recommendation, and you know, I'm glad you bring it up, because I really missed this opportunity with my kids at an early age. That I wish, you know what I'm saying, you can't turn back the clock and change things, but I wish that we had incorporated this more into our lives, and really when they were younger. So you have great opportunity with the two you have, and you know, anybody else that has grandchildren and younger kids. I think that helping them to see Christianity as more than just a church thing, but a lifestyle and a discipline, is something that you would probably have to just sit down and, I believe, share the word with them, talk to them about what this means and why you're doing it, and then let them know that this is spiritual discipline, because there are other faiths that teach their kids from a young age the importance and the principles of their faith. And this is one pillar that we have that we don't really talk about and teach enough. So I would say, start them off in such a way where they may cut something out that they like. Okay. So it may be, and for kids, and I'm saying this not for adults, you know, but for kids, it may be, okay, how long can they go without eating certain things like sweets and things of that nature, that you start cutting some things out. They don't have to do a complete fast, but, you know, can they remove some things and see the benefit of it? Challenge themselves from a fleshly standpoint, because kids want those things, mm-hmm. you know. And so if you teach them to control their desire for those things and curb their desire for those things, then I think that would be beneficial. That's how I would have done it. You know, if my kids were still small, I would say, you know, not to go on a complete fast. You know, if I'm going to do it, you don't have to do it. I'm just going to drink water. But, you know, you're not going to have that. Maybe you have vegetables and stuff that they don't probably like, but but you maybe, you know, put them in a healthier position, and then allow them to eliminate some of the things that they really like and really intake on a regular basis. You know, no chips, no, you know, sweets and things of that nature. That's how I would do it. Anybody else have a suggestion or a comment about that? That's how I would do it. Okay. All right.
That's helpful. Thank you.
All right. I see the shot man has shown up.
yes, sir. Get in.
All right
now.
All right. Stay in the word, okay? You're probably going to need it 12 hours from now.
You know.
I know by experience. All right. So Mark chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Thank you for that question, though, Nikita. Mark chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Someone can read that. That would be great.
Mark chapter 2, verse, what did you say, 18 and 19?
Yes, 18 and 19.
Okay, I have the Amplified version, Mark 2, okay. 18. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were observing a fast, and some people came and asked Jesus, "Why are John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fasting, but your disciples are not doing so?" 19, Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests fast, abstain from food and drink, while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in that day."
Mm. All right. No, you can stop there. Okay. So notice that Jesus really, really did not expect, while the disciples were with him, mm-hmm. to get into a regimen of fasting. Mm-hmm. It was only after he left, which leaves us in this position. To say, okay, Jesus is not, he was saying that as long as I'm physically with them, there's no need for them to do this. Okay. As he demonstrated even to them, this kind cannot go out but by prayer and fasting. Well, he was the one that was fasting. Mm-hmm. That's why he could cast it out. He was demonstrating something to them. Okay. And he was saying, now notice he said, greater things, you know, you're going to do you know, because I go to the Father.
Right.
So there's an expectation that says when the bridegroom goes away, then fasting will take place. But I'm here now, so feast upon me. He always talked about himself. He looked at himself as the bridegroom of the church. The disciples were the church back then. Mm-hmm. So there was a wedding. There was a matrimony. There was something that was taking place here, and you celebrate that. You feast on that. So they were expected to feed off of him and to feast off of him, and then fast to discipline the flesh when he was no longer present, right, when he left. Okay, so it's an expectation now that we do this because of this scripture, that he's not physically here. So the expectation is that we fast. Okay, and that's why he said they don't do it now. You know? All right, so there's another coded expectation that we fast at this point in time in our lives. Okay, because of the presence of Jesus was with them. He did not expect it, but when he left, he said, this is an expectation. Let's look at Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. All right. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. I really like this. I really like this. And then we're going to get to, and then while you're doing that, if you're writing scriptures down, go ahead and write Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 23 down. So Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3, and then Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 23.
Okay.
And so you'll be able to walk through this and teach other folk and talk about it and really, you know, help people to understand this. So that's why I'm teaching it to you the way that I am. So Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. Somebody has that? Let's read that. New Testament, New Covenant, Acts chapter
13. Okay. Acts
13.
Go ahead.
I like it when y'all fight over scripture. Go ahead. Somebody read.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Acts 13, 2 through 3. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away.
All right. So while they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit came and spoke to them. Okay. Remember, fasting opens you up to the Spirit. Right. Mm-hmm. Notice that there was just worship and fasting going on. And then the Spirit in that generated a call to Saul and Barnabas. Okay, so he called them Saul, which later became Paul, as we know. But he generated a calling that took place because of fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, notice that what the church leaders did. The church leaders then said, and then it says verse 3, then after fasting and praying, they put their hands on them and sent them away. Okay, so not on the Holy Spirit said, separate or set apart, prepare them. Then they fasted and prayed some more, and then he says, and then they sent them away. Okay, so they just didn't send them out to church. The Spirit said, "You call, go." No, there was some fasting and praying surrounding that, and then the calling was to be carried out. Okay, so notice that you know we should not, and this is something that I've learned that when there's a call on someone's life, I mean that should be something that should be prayed about, not only prayed about, but there's some fasting that needs to take place so that we're sure we're hearing from God as it relates to that person's call and walk in life. And the Holy Spirit will just come in and reveal it, and it would be confirmed. I truly believe that. But we just trust what somebody says instead of, you know, testing the Spirit by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here we have that there's a laying on of hands. Now notice what happens in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 23. Now, who were the two people that were set apart?
Barnabas and Saul.
Okay, now let's go to Acts chapter 14. And look at verses, 19 through 23?
Yeah.
Okay, yep, somebody read that. You go ahead, Mother Yola, if you want to continue reading.
19 then. When he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan. He gave them, the Hebrews, their land.
Wait a minute, are you in Acts chapter 14?
Wait a minute. Mm-mm. Oh, I'm sorry, that's 13.
Yeah, 13 is a long one. Yeah, it's long, it's a long chapter. Wait, yeah. So Acts chapter 14, starting at verse 19.
Wait, I can't even find 14, 13.
It come right after 13.
I know. Okay, you know what? I'm sorry. The pages are so thin, they stuck together.
I'm just joking with you. I'm just joking with you.
14, all right. Verse 19. I'm sorry. Okay. But some Jews, is that where we are? But some Jews arrived.
There you go. There you go. All right.
But some Jews arrived there from Antioch and Iconium. And having persuaded the people and won them over, they stoned Paul and afterwards dragged him out of the town, thinking that he was dead. But the disciples formed a circle about him, and he got up and went back into the town. And on the morrow, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. 21. When they had preached the good news, the gospel, to that town and made disciples of many of the people, they went back to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, establishing and strengthening the souls and the hearts of the disciples, urging and warning and encouraging them to stand firm in the faith, and telling them that it is through many hardships and tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God.
Verse 23, go ahead.
And when they had appointed and ordained elders for them in each church with prayer and fasting.
How did they appoint him? With prayer and fasting. So they went back to the place where he was stoned and almost killed, and had the strength and the courage to go back there. And then they appointed elders for the church, right? And how did they do it again?
They ordained elders in each church with prayer and fasting. They committed them to the Lord in whom they had come to believe, being full of joyful trust that he is the Christ, the Messiah.
So what they did was the same thing that happened for them, okay? And for Paul, the same thing that happened for him, the laying on of hands after prayer and fasting, was what he began to do. So there was a replication of what he received. And so it is teaching us a principle.
Right.
That when there's a setting apart, there should be prayer and fasting associated with the church. And this is why, let's be honest, that we have a lot of self-appointed people who have, and I'm not judging anybody's call, but I'm saying that we know that the Bible teaches us there are going to be some people in the world who are not going to teach the word of God, who are going to reach the itching ears and things of that nature. And these are the people who have not truly been set apart by prayer and fasting and equipped and ready for where they are in this, you know, in their walk with Christ and in teaching and in ministering to people. So we know that is a part of what's that. But my point is that Paul said, we're not going to do this without prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Once again, I'm trying to drive home the point that fasting is a part of our spiritual walk and our spiritual lives. Mm-hmm. It is not an afterthought. It is very essential, consequential, and at the center of what we do. Okay. And I've never been as committed to teaching something as I have this as it relates to what we need to do. I truly believe this is the missing link to a lot of the authority, spiritual authority that we need to have in the earth. We're lacking something. Mm-hmm. And this is it. I think this is it. You know, I really do. I believe that wholeheartedly, that if we incorporate this along with those other disciplines that we do, worship, and because they were worshiping and fasting, you know, in verse chapter 13. And then, you know, when we incorporate the word, and we incorporate how we live, what we do, how we treat each other, and then prayer, getting it. So now we've just raised ourselves to another level spiritually. All right, so let's look at and here's the probably the last verse that I want to get to tonight, and it's a doozy. So let's go here. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to look at, and we're going to examine for the next 10 minutes. So we're going to try to get through this quickly. Isaiah 58 verses 6 through 12. The reason why I want to get it, because I want to seal this thought tonight with this, so that I don't want to leave this hanging until next week. I want to seal this thought tonight. Isaiah 56 verses 6 through 12, and then verses 13 and 14. So let's look at that. Isaiah 58 verses 6 through 12, and then verses 13 and 14. All right, so I will read Isaiah 58. I'll read verses 6 through 12. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to pause for a second, and I want somebody else to come in and read verses 13 and 14. Okay. There's a reason why I'm doing it this way. All right. So Isaiah chapter 58, starting at verse 6, it says, "Rather, is not this the fast that I have chosen?" And I'm reading from the Amplified Classic. "To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke." He said, "Is this not the fast that I've chosen? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked, that you cover him and that you hide not yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood?" He says, then, so if you see, so he says, if you do this, mm-hmm. if you do this, then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing, your restoration, and the power of a new life shall spring forth speedily. Okay, so we want that new life. We want that refreshing. We want that power, right? But he's showing us how to get it.
Kind of fast.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he's showing us how to get it. Then it says, "Your righteousness, your rightness, your justice, and your right relationship with God shall go before you, conducting you to peace and prosperity, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." God has your back. "Then you shall call." When you gonna call? "Then you shall call after you have fasted properly." It says, "Then you shall call and the Lord will answer." Oh, that sounds a lot like Chronicles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it sounds a lot like Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 7:14, right? It's like, "If my people were called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, or fast and pray, seek my face mm-hmm. and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven," right? He's going to hear from heaven after you do those things. Well, he says, when you fast properly, when you incorporate fasting in your life, right? He says, "Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away from your midst yokes of oppression, wherever you find them, the finger pointed in scorn toward the oppressed or the godly, and every form of false, harsh, unjust, and wicked speaking. And if you pour out that with which you sustain your own life for the hungry, and satisfy the need of the afflicted," these are all things that we should be doing while we're fasting to help others, "then shall your light rise in darkness and your obscurity and gloom before you like noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy you in drought and in dry places and make strong your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of buildings that have laid waste for many generations. And you shall be called repairer of the breach, restorer of streets to dwell in." Okay, so now, let's read. Somebody read verses 13 and 14.
"If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken.
All right, so we have this whole chapter, starting at verse 1, going down to verse 12, that talks about fasting. Okay. Then the last two verses, there's a switch where now the subject is the Sabbath. So the question that came up in my mind is, what's the correlation between the two? He's talking about fasting. He's talking about the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. What's the correlation? There has to be a connection. So I want you to put this down. You can put it in pencil if you want to. Fasting equals Sabbath. Okay. Fasting equals Sabbath. All right. So I want you to put that down. Why? Because it's important for us to know that the Sabbath equals rest. Okay. If we go back to how I begin to, one of the ways to define fasting is to rest your body or cease it from eating. Okay. Of intake. You know that your body is working when you eat, right? Mm-hmm. That's why some of you get tired, you know, and sleepy after you eat. Because your body is working to digest that which you put into it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's working. It's not resting. Okay? It's working. That's why sometimes you don't sleep well. If you eat too close to going to bed,
yeah, right? That's
your body is working while you're sleeping instead of just resting. Mm-hmm. Okay? So what happened, what I want us to see here is that fasting equals the Sabbath. Well, how can you say that? It doesn't say that, Pastor. How can you say that? How do you make, you making an assumption? Okay. Let's go back to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 5. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 5. Now, Leviticus 25 comes right after Leviticus 24. All right, so we want to make sure that you find it. All right,
Leviticus 25.
Yes, verses 1 through 5.
Okay, the Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, "Say to the Israelites, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyards and gather in its fruits. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow nor," what is it? "Nor
sow your field.
Nor prune your vineyard. What grows of itself in your harvest, you shall not reap, and the grapes on your uncultivated vine, you shall not gather. For it is a year of rest to the land."
All right. It's a year of rest to the land,
rest,
right?
Sabbath rest.
It's a year of rest, Sabbath. Okay, so now let's go to Leviticus chapter 26, verses 33 through 35. Okay, Leviticus chapter 26, verses 33 through 35. Okay, anybody can read that.
Are you okay with the good news?
Let's hear the good news. Go ahead.
Okay. "I will bring war on you and scatter you in foreign lands. Your land will be deserted and your cities left in ruins. Then the land will enjoy the years of complete rest that you would not give it. It will lie abandoned and get its rest while you are in exile in the land of your enemies." Do 36 too?
No, no, that's fine. That's fine. I didn't know the good news ended there. Okay. I was just trying to follow it in this version. So in essence, did y'all hear what she says? She says, so let's read another version and I'll marry the two together so y'all can get it. Okay.
That's amplified.
Okay, go ahead.
I will scatter you among the nations and draw out your enemies' sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities a waste. Then shall the land of Israel have the opportunity to enjoy its Sabbath as long as it lies desolate and you are in your enemy's land. Then shall the land rest to enjoy and receive payments for its Sabbath divinely ordained for it. As long as it lies desolate and waste, it shall have rest, and the rest it did not have in your Sabbath when you dwelt upon it.
All right. So in essence, so if you heard that the two, they go together, they match beautifully. The reason why Israel was scattered and placed in the bondage was because they were disobedient. Mm-hmm. What were they disobedient in doing? Giving the land rest. Mm-hmm. They were disobedient with that. So God scattered them. He said, now the land's going to get the rest. That was divinely, as it says in the Amplified, divinely ordained for it. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's divine ordination for the land to have rest. What is God saying? God is saying that if we go back to Genesis, right, we were made from what? What was the body made from?
Dust, the dirt of the earth.
Dirt of the earth, the land of the earth, right? Okay. He fashioned and formed the land to have rest, that it must have rest. In order for it to be fruitful those other years, it must have rest.
And so must our bodies.
Mm-hmm. That's why we cease from eating and we fast and we give the body an opportunity to rest. It is equivalent to the Sabbath rest of the land that God penalized the Israelites for not giving the land. And so my question to us is, have we penalized ourselves by being disobedient and not giving this land the rest that God wants it to have, so divinely appointed to have, so that we can be fruitful those other times when we are eating? So this is where I wanted to leave us tonight with that question, that do we recognize that God and these signs and these symbols are beautiful in the Word of God? And when we begin to see that he's talking about the land having rest. He penalized the people for the land. Well, he just ain't talking about the dirt on the ground. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the dirt that's walking around. Mm-hmm. He's talking about us, as that he's given a principle here that the land must have rest in order to be fruitful. We must rest our bodies, cleanse our bodies, and get closer to God through fasting. Mm-hmm. And that way, my brothers and sisters, is the way in which we become more fruitful and not penalize ourselves for not giving the land rest.
Wow.
All right. Any thoughts or comments before we close out? Yes, sister.
If I may, I'd like to add to the explanation you gave to Nikita's question about involving children and getting involved. And it might be helpful also, and they buy into it more, if you have them select and decide which item they will give up, rather than saying, you're going to give up this, you're not going to have this. That might be a way to get them to
begin to dedicate themselves. And right. Yes. Mm-hmm. And see it as meaningful. I like that. Yeah, it's good. It's good. All right. Yes, Mother.
I know you said that fasting is not dieting. But what if you wanted to eliminate certain foods from your body? Mm-hmm. And say, example, meat. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to do that and do without meat for a week, mm-hmm. that would not be considered fasting, would it?
Yes, it would be a type of fasting. Yes, it would. It would be a type of fasting. Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be. But it's not dieting.
I know.
Because it's all in the purpose of it. That's all. It's all in the purpose. Now, is meat something that you feel like you need to have? Because once again, there are levels to this. And I want to teach you there's levels to fasting. Okay? There are levels. And so people talk about the Daniel fast where you eat only fruit, you know, and vegetables. So we have different types of fast that we can do. So that's why I included that. They excluded the king's meat, right? And they just ate fruits and vegetables. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you may be able to sustain your fast for longer periods of time based upon when you haven't practiced fasting or engaged in it. You may be able to, you know, sustain it for longer periods of time when you cut out certain foods that have been a part of your lifestyle for so long, but you said, I'm only going to focus on fruits and vegetables, or I'm going to juice, you know, and just do juice. And that's it. So those are forms of fasting. Yes. You know, but you know, really it has to be something that's challenging. It's not like you just eating a bunch of fruit. You're just replacing, you know, the meat with fruit and you're eating a ton of fruit to get full every day, but that's not really it either. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about the intention and the challenge. And there needs to be a pushing of a crucifying of the flesh, so to speak, in order to put yourself in a position to reap the benefits in the spirit. Otherwise, it does just become a diet. You know, and with fasting, yeah, byproduct of it, a physical byproduct is that you lose weight. You're going to lose weight if you fast and you fast long enough. Yeah, that's just a natural thing. You also get rid of toxins in your body. So you become healthier. There have been people who talked about being more energized as they fast, you know, because the body feels, you know, just more powerful because you're disciplining it and you're getting rid of some of that stuff that we put in us that messes us up. You know, so healing, that's how healing can take place. And that's what's talked about in Isaiah 58. You know, that healing can come in and take place during the right type of fast. Okay. So good question.
Thank you.
So my question is, Pastor. So mm-hmm. So are you saying it was the intent of God that while we take a Sabbath every 7 days and rest the body, that we also should take a Sabbath from eating every 7 days, resting the gut and everything?
That's what I'm seeing in the Word of God. That's what I'm seeing in the Word of God. That as the Sabbath rest is in place, you know, and I believe that is also a call for us to have a Sabbath rest once a week for the body, breaking it from eating and giving the land a rest. I do believe that. I do believe that.
Okay.
And look, if I'm wrong, it ain't gonna hurt you. I ain't gonna bring no harm to you, but I truly believe I'm right. I truly believe this is what, because this is the spirit just has this all over. I'm just feeling it. I know this is it, y'all. I know this is a key element. It's not all that we need, but it's a key part of what we need. Okay, it's a key part of what we need to do with the right purpose and intent in mind. Okay.
I agree.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Okay. Well, we're going to let you go tonight. You know, it's so good to see you. Hopefully you got these scriptures down. You got this word. You can go back over, go back through it, read it in different versions. But just see what the Lord is speaking to you. And I want you to begin the process of thinking about how, when we start, how you're going to do this. There's going to be what I'm going to call a global start for our ministry. But then also there's an individual piece that you add to it. So there's going to be something that I'm going to ask everybody to do. But then I'm also going to ask that you incorporate this as a lifestyle for you personally in terms of how you're going to do it and moving forward. Okay, but I'm committing, you know, I'm looking, definitely committing myself to once a week. Just definitely that to me is a no-brainer. We got to do that. But we'll be calling on something, and it's going to be important for us to meet when we start off. So say for instance, if I say, well, you know, let's do a a 3-day together fast, however you, whatever challenges you, you know, and then, but it's going to be important that we meet those 3 days to continue to encourage one another and uplift one another and not just be isolated by ourselves and kind of remove those distractions.
So you're saying once a week would be a good start then? What now?
Yes. Yes. Once a week would be a good start. Definitely. Yeah. I believe that that's just ongoing, you know? It's just a matter of us adding to it. Sometimes you may want to say, well, I'm going to do a 3-day fast, but I'm going to fast at least once a week, mm-hmm. you know, to get closer. And you can choose the day, different days, depends on what's going on. But you want to put yourself in a position where you can truly live it out. And I would say we start, you know, with some light things because I don't want people to be disappointed or get down on yourself if you can't make it all the way through. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but we're gonna really press this. We're gonna press it, okay. And then once again, I ask that you consult with your physician if you're on medication to say, hey, this is what, you know, I'm planning on doing. What are ways in which I can not put myself in a detrimental position with my medication and fasting at the same time? Because some medications you have to eat something in order to take them. You know, so can you? You know, do a juicing meal thing and have that as what you need when you take your medication. But other than that, abstain from all other foods. So just talk about it and, you know, consult with your physician if you are, you know, compromised in any way in terms of your health. But I believe that, you know, if you do this, you know, the physician is going to look at you like, what you doing? You put me out of business. I truly believe that. All right. Okay. Let's pray. We're going to be on our way. Let's pray ourselves out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now for just this word tonight and showing us and blessing us and giving us your scriptures. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come in and just empower us and give us what we need in order to grow, to be better at what we do and better at who we are in you. Give us the strength as we prepare our minds and our hearts for fasting, mm-hmm. for a lifestyle of fasting. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we're praying that as we do this, we get closer to you, closer to your spirit, mm-hmm. closer to hearing your voice, closer to feeling your power and your love and your grace and your mercy. We thank you right now and we surrender ourselves. We surrender our households. We surrender everything that we have. We yeah. give it to you and say, Lord, use us, use them, use it, use everything that we have so that we can give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate y'all. Love y'all. Appreciate you. All right.
We love you too.
All right. All right. Good night. God bless. All right. Roz, who we got in the background there waving? I missed.
Hey. Hi, my mother.
Hi. Hi, mother.
She's on there on Sundays too. If she sees Sylvia Jackson on Facebook.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. I saw that little hand come up. I was like, okay. All right. All right.
Hi, everybody.
Okay. Hey, all right. Bless y'all.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.